Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're delighted that you're on board with us. Looking forward to this dialogue and discussion today that I believe is vital and necessary, especially in the era in which we're living. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so from a central biblicist perspective. That is, what's the Word of God say? Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, we face issues in life, regardless of the area they emanate from. Could be societal, political, theological, doctrinal, biblical, whatever the issue, whatever category. Let me remind you that we have a resource book. It's called the Bible. In the Bible, in the Word of God, God gives us the answers to life. It indeed should be the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway. As we travel each day, we should look to His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be doing a two-part series today and tomorrow, and the series is going to be on Jesus' resurrection. Is it a myth or a miracle? Is Jesus' resurrection a myth or is it a miracle? Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a changing world, and in the changing world, there seems to be competing ideas, challenges to our historical biblical roots. I find that egregious, but nevertheless, it's real. In the society in which we're living today, everything, ladies and gentlemen, that just a few years back, 30, 40, 50 years ago in particular, were considered absolutes, rudimentary, fundamental, foundational beliefs, theologically, doctrinally, biblically, historically. Yet today, our society seems to be motivated by a challenge to those roots. Multitudes in our society today do not know American history, or our founding documents, or our biblical roots. And yet we're continually challenged on our basic biblical doctrinal beliefs, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps the greatest debate that's raging today, perhaps the greatest argument and the challenge, and it comes to the forefront every year with a little broader and greater argument and defense against and a challenge of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, the question of the resurrection of Jesus coming from the tomb is perhaps one of the greatest arguments and debates in societal history. In fact, it crosses all denominational lines. You'd expect the agnostic and the atheist to challenge it. But a lot of folks today, ladies and gentlemen, say they're saved and yet disavow, debate, and disbelieve the historical record of the resurrection, bodily resurrection, of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're questioning the resurrection, and they simply conclude that Jesus' resurrection was only a spiritual event, not a physical bodily resurrection. In fact, here's an article that says, "Holy war erupts over Jesus' physical resurrection from the dead." The article is basically by Dr. John Shepherd of Perth, Australia, but it's relevant because it is widely believed as much as he is writing. It begins in the article, "When Jesus rose from the dead, was it physical resurrection of his body or was it transformed into a spiritual body? And this Dr. John Shepherd says, we need to challenge the belief that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead was a physical resurrection. It would be wrong to demand an interpretation of the resurrection, which includes the physical resuscitation of Jesus' body, when the accounts in the New Testament refer to the resurrection of the body transformed by the Spirit of God. He goes further. The early Christians wanted to convey their conviction that Jesus, despite the fact that he had been put to death, overcame this death and all the constrictions of death that went with it, and now lived as a transformed spiritual reality to strengthen, inspire, and console. Their overriding concern was to communicate the reality of their experience of the new life which Jesus embodied. So it's not surprising that these accounts of Jesus' resurrection appearance differ with regard to the place and time. Their authenticity doesn't depend on them being precise. Ladies and gentlemen, that's basically a challenge and a question to the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. Here's another article that says, can a scientist believe in the resurrection? And he sets forth three hypotheses in this writing. He says, I'm a professor of nuclear science and engineering at MIT, and I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. So do dozens of my colleagues. And he sets forth three hypotheses. One of them is, we're not talking about a literal resurrection. And he goes on talking about how the literal resurrection was designed to inspire and to propagate Jesus and exalted position in his teachings, etc. Hypothesis two says miracles like the resurrection are inherently abnormal. It does not take modern science to tell us that humans don't rise from the dead. People knew that perfectly well in the first century. Just as they know that a blind person from birth doesn't, as an adult, regain his sight, or water doesn't instantly turn into wine. And then his third hypothesis says, I was brainwashed as a child. If you've read this thus so far, you're still wondering how an MIT professor could seriously believe in the resurrection. You might guess that I was brainwashed to believe in it as a child, but no. I did not grow up in a home where I was taught to believe in the resurrection. I came to faith in Jesus Christ when I was an undergraduate at Cambridge University and was baptized in the chapel of King's College on my 20th birthday. The life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus are as compelling to me now as they were then. Ladies and gentlemen, that kind of summarizes the position that multitudes take. That particular one with an MIT professor admits to the fact that it was a challenge to him, and he set forth in the first two hypotheses, the potentialities, and multitudes believe in them in that fashion. But the final one was that he had said yes to Jesus Christ. And that's the key to it, ladies and gentlemen. But may I remind us, since the Sadducees of the first century, skeptics and atheists and mythologists and agnostics have sought to explain away, or simply out and out deny and reject the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, today, there are multitudes of religious cults, philosophies, and others that literally compete for the minds and the hearts of men and women around the world. One of these, ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering, and I'll talk about others, but one of those key religions that seriously attempt to do that right now is Islam. Keep in mind, Islam has a synergy around a false god. His name is Allah. But Islam is not alone in their denial of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some time ago, a poll was undertaken and published by Scrip Howard News and Ohio University, and they point out very interesting facts and some very sad findings. The majority of Americans, they say, no longer believe in the resurrection, bodily resurrection of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, most Americans, this article says, most Americans do not believe if they will experience a resurrection of their bodies when they die, thus putting them firmly at odds with the true biblical teachings of Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, you can jump in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you've been challenged to believe in your belief about the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you believe the mythology that Jesus did not die. He was simply swooned, and we'll talk about those different theories in a moment. But we're talking about this on a two-part series today and tomorrow. And even at that, it'd be briefly overviewed simply because the breadth and the depth of the subject demands far more attention. Most Americans, ladies and gentlemen, as I just said, do not believe that they will experience a resurrection of the body when they die. And that is absolutely contrary to the biblical teaching. The resurrection of Jesus Christ separates Jesus from all other good teachers, intellectual gurus, intellectual gods, and world leaders in all of history, ladies and gentlemen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that Jesus was God, and that he is God, and shall always be God. Jesus is the one who died, was buried, and on the third day, according to the scripture, rose again. The grave, ladies and gentlemen, is not the final destiny for the Christian. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19, the Apostle Paul carefully and powerfully makes us to recall some very serious facts. Let me read that text. Now, if Christ be preached that he is risen from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. So the question is the resurrection of Jesus Christ an historical fact, or is it only a myth, as so many are claiming today? Just what are the facts? Just what kind of evidence do we find? What are the historical proofs of the resurrection of Jesus? And what are the best theories of examining what really happened back in that first century? The question must be asked, ladies and gentlemen, were you there? Did you or someone you know witness the resurrection? What about the variety of the so-called theories of those who deny the proofs and the realities of the bodily resurrection of Jesus? Were they there? You can have someone says, well, this is what happened. He swooned and put into the dark, wet, damp tomb. He revived again. The question must be asked to them, were you there? We could ask the question, did you know George Washington? Did you ever meet Napoleon? Did he really exist? How do you know? We could ask the same questions about many. In fact, most figures of history, we could ask that same question. Every answer, ladies and gentlemen, that would be given to any of those questions about any of the historical past, the answer would be based on written evidence. Yet in such areas recorded as the proofs and the evidence, the place of our faith, in fact, is presented and it's questioned. Why is it then that their world will receive as fact the written history of all others, yet will deny and challenge and reject the proofs of the resurrection and call it a myth? It boils down to a willingness, ladies and gentlemen, to faith the facts and believe. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for your program and the truth. I just love to hear you use that word, the truth. And I've just never heard a man of God try to get people saved so bad. Jesus was dead. He was thrust with a sword in his side. And just like Lazarus was dead. You hear me? He was dead. His sister said, Lord, he stinketh. Jesus was dead. That's how you know he came back. But Dr. Youngblood, once you've received the gift of salvation and eternal life, you with that gift comes a realization that the rebellion that started in the Garden of Eden will just keep going worse and worse and greater. And if man was able, he would jerk God off his throne and sit on his very throne. And it'll only end, this rebellion will only end when Christ comes back. And till then, It's so sad that people see all these facts and they just can't grasp it, you know,
yes.
Till they receive that gift of eternal life. With that gift comes the truth and the realization. He was dead, and he rose from the grave.
Amen. But yes, sir.
Again, Dr. Youngblood, just thank you for what you're doing. I don't know if it's the patience. I don't have the patience. But you have the patience of Job with the unsaved, I will say. You sure do. And I thank God for you. I thank God for all the wonderful gifts he's given you.
And thank you so much. I'm humbled by those remarks. Thank you so much for your kindness. And yes, it is an absolute fact, as our caller just mentioned, that until you receive the gift of eternal life, salvation, through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, placing our faith and trust in him, then there's that doubt, there's that question, there's that debate, there's that dialogue that often takes place. And many times a person believes the devil's lie rather than believing the truth of the scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Jesus' resurrection, physical bodily resurrection. Was it myth or was it a miracle? First of all, I want us to think on the thought we're thinking about now, the proofs of the resurrection. First of all, what are the premises, the premise of the resurrection? The greatest evidence since the creation itself is the incarnation. When God became flesh via the virgin birth, Jesus Christ, sinless life, his volitional death on Calvary's cross, his bodily resurrection, and his redemption through the rich red royal blood that was poured out on Calvary. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection of Jesus is prophesied in the scripture. Job believed in the resurrection. In Job chapter 19, verse 25 through 27, it says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy the body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins, that's my heart, be consumed within me." David of the Old Testament believed in the resurrection. In Psalm 17:15, "For as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake," that's talking about the resurrection, "with thy likeness." Isaiah, ladies and gentlemen, in the Old Testament, Isaiah believed in the resurrection. Isaiah 26:19, "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise." That's the resurrection. "Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Daniel believed in the resurrection. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." That is the resurrection, ladies and gentlemen. "Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." The fact, ladies and gentlemen, that you find in the Old Testament, Job and David and Isaiah and Daniel all believed in and taught the resurrection. It's not only something that's prophesied in the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, it's promised by the Savior himself. Many of those who reject and ridicule the resurrection of Jesus say that Jesus never claimed that he would rise again. Have you ever heard that? Some say, and some even in Christian circles, say, "Well, you know, it doesn't really make any difference whether he rose from the dead or not. I still love Jesus. I still think I'm saved." Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe in the resurrection, it's an impossibility to be saved. Impossibility. Romans 10, 9, 10, and 11 proves that, ladies and gentlemen. But I want us to understand that it's promised, the resurrection, Jesus promised that he would rise again. But we have verse after verse after verse that proves that. All we need to do is look at the Gospels. Matthew 16:21, Matthew said, "Suffer many things of the elders," speaking of Jesus, "and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." And then in chapter 12, verse 38 through 40, verse 40 says this, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." That's Jesus speaking. Matthew 17, verse 23. "The Son of Man shall be betrayed in the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 and 32, "For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Matthew 28 and verse 6, Jesus says, He is not here. The scripture says he is not here, for he is risen. Why? As he said he would. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Mark 14, 28 says, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Luke 14, 14, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. John 5, 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all they that are in the grave shall hear his voice. John chapter 11, verse 23, 24, and 25, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. Ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection in the scripture is promised. The resurrection of Jesus is promised in the scripture. It is absolutely promised by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Just as it's prophesied in the Old Testament, it is promised by Jesus in the New Testament. It's also proclaimed by the servants of Christ, ladies and gentlemen. As you study the scripture, we find in the book of Acts alone, there are over 25 passages mentioning specifically the wonderful message of the resurrection. There are more than 30 such passages in the epistles. So what did Peter say? What did Paul say? What did John say about the resurrection? In First Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and following, Peter says, according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Apostle Paul, because there are so many, we'll just simply look at two or three of them, ladies and gentlemen. We could look at dozens and dozens and dozens by the Apostle Paul. But in Romans, the first chapter and the fourth verse, speaking of Jesus, Paul said, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that little word by comes the Greek word, it's dia, D-I-A, which simply means the access, the doorway, the passageway, by the resurrection from the dead. Romans 6, 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul believed in the resurrection. But perhaps one of the greatest passages in all of the Bible, the classic text in all of the scripture, it's 58 verses. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's the best classic text chapter in all of the Bible about the resurrection. Chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul says, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That little word, according to, is the little Greek word kata, K-A-T-A, which simply means based upon. He was buried and rose again the third day based upon the scripture, according to, kata, according to the scripture. So we see Peter believed in the resurrection and taught it. The Apostle Paul believed in the resurrection and taught it. John taught the resurrection. In fact, in John chapter 11, verses 20 through 26, where John records his words with Martha about his resurrection, he says, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. But ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what we say about Scripture prophesying the resurrection and the Savior promising the resurrection and the servants proclaiming the resurrection, there's still a protest then and today about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask a very poignant, powerful question. Why is it that the lost world never cast any historical doubt, never cast any doubt about the historical proofs of George Washington? Did you see him? Did you go to school with him? Did you know George Washington? How do you know George Washington? How do we know anything about the man named George Washington? It's because of the historical record. It's because of what has been written. Why is it that there is but a few, if any, that doubt the reality of the life of the wicked human being named Muhammad? Most wretched, wicked, evil religion in the world is Islam, birthed out of the fawnings of a demonically controlled mind in a man named Muhammad. Yes, you heard me say it. Wicked, evil, religious belief I've read the Quran. I've studied the Quran. I have written on the Quran. I have had the privilege of publishing two books about the Quran. And I can say dogmatically, without any fear of contradiction, other than somebody might want to fume and foam in contradictory remarks, but not because they have any empirical evidence of being able to contradict it. But yet, there's no question, generally speaking, when someone says something about Muhammad. How about Abraham Lincoln? What about Hitler? And multitudes of other historical figures. But when it comes to the written, revealed proofs of Jesus Christ, life, death, burial, and resurrection, somehow they cast doubt, they reject, they ridicule, they remonstrate against, and deny the resurrection. I think it's just a lot of prideful talk. Just a brief list of some of the slurs and the railings of disbelief of the from the infidels and from the atheists. Some say that since the resurrection they do not happen now, then Jesus' resurrection was false. The premise is, ladies and gentlemen, with what I just said, if Jesus' resurrection was true, why aren't we finding resurrections today? And so since there are no resurrections today, that's proof positive that Jesus could not have risen from the grave. Then the others are saying, well, the gospel literature is only propaganda. So if it's propaganda, how should we believe any truth in it? That's the remonstrations of those that are wicked and on the left. And filtering down, ladies and gentlemen, so often, even in some of the loose, lax, lost liberal denominations today, that will preach everything but the truth of the Word of God. And then others will say, you should doubt the resurrection story because there are so few written sources near the evidence of all that are pro-Christian. Hear what they're saying? Because there's so few written sources near the event, and all are pro-Christians that write that. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, may I tell you, Christian apologists throughout history make exaggerated claims, some say. Nothing written about Jesus to verify his own resurrection, some claim. There are no neutral, non-Christian writings of the resurrection until 100 years after the event, so some liberals say. Most people in Jesus' day were uneducated, illiterate, and so they simply believed and had to take the resurrection as fact, even though they didn't know it for truth. We're talking about some of the things that some of the skeptics and some of those that are prideful talkers are saying today. Some say the original Christians did not, in fact, believe in a physical resurrection. Others are saying the gospel record of the resurrection was simply a growing legend of that day and continues to be an increasingly growing legend today. Some say that they deny the authenticity of the scripture verses about the resurrection. Simply, they don't believe what the Word of God says. That's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. The empty tomb was only meant to be a symbol, some say, not real. Just there's an empty tomb, and some say that that is not real. Well, ladies and gentlemen, not just the prideful talk of some, but I call them some with the pernicious theories. A lot of folks have theories of evolution. Evolution, for example, is not real. It's a theory. In fact, it didn't even grow to be a theory. It was simply a hypothesis, not even grown to develop into a theory, but yet it's being taught today in public schools as fact, not as a hypothesis, not as a theory. But there's some theories throughout the centuries in the lost world that's developed seven theories, ladies and gentlemen, regarding the resurrection of Jesus. Time won't allow us to go into but one or two of them, but we'll do so, and we'll continue our study on tomorrow. But first of all, the first theory is what's called the swoon theory. We're talking about now some of the hypotheses and some of the theories of the resurrection of Jesus that tries to disprove his literal physical bodily resurrection. Let me remind us again, ladies and gentlemen, if you refuse to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's an impossibility to be blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. But the swoon theory says that Jesus didn't really die on the cross. He only fainted. He swooned, and the Roman soldiers just thought that he was dead, but he wasn't really dead, and ordered him to be removed from the cross and buried. Then in the cool, damp tomb, Jesus began to recuperate and to revive, and after getting his strength back, he simply rolled the stone away and walked out. Then the disciples followed and explained his appearance as being a resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, that's pitiful in its theory. There's six other theories on that. We'll discover those tomorrow in our next broadcast. Looking forward to you joining us as once again, we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.